Hey, Wiki listeners, it's Rachel.
And Victor, did you know I host the fantastic NYC Talent Show
every Monday night at the Parkside Lounge in New York City?
It's an off-off-Broadway showcase where you can see New York's underground performance art up close.
We've got weekly special guests like Colin Quinn, Janine Garofalo, Tone Bell, and lots more.
Use the code WIKILISTEN for a special discount on tickets when you go to nyctalentshow.com.
That's nyctalentshow.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the Wikipedia page for Rebecca Heineman. Welcome to WikiListen, the podcast where we read Wikipedia pages and provide commentary. I'm Victor Varnado, KSN.
And I'm Rachel Teichman, LMSW, reminding you to subscribe.
Yep. Please subscribe, everybody, or else, you know, we'll pass away eventually. Maybe we will, even if you don't, but we'll see what happens. We have a great guest on, Rebecca Heineman, and not only are we reading her page, she's here. This is awesome. Thank you for being here, Rebecca.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me on your show.
Wonderful. I don't want to spoil who you are for people who don't know who you are, so I think we should just get started reading the pages, shall we?
Let's do this.
All right, here we go. Rebecca Heineman. Rebecca Ann Heineman is an American video game designer and programmer. Heineman was a founding member of video game companies Interplay Productions, Logicware, Contraband Entertainment, and Old School. She has been chief executive officer for Old School since 2013.
Yep, that sums up the high-level stuff of my career. I've been either running companies or occasionally working for them, but... Yeah, the big one, of course, was Interplay. That was a story.
I'm going to have 1,000 questions for you, probably, because I also just started a video game company. And so...
You have my condolences.
Yeah.
Oh, what, no.
Tell me about the spelling of school, the dots over the U's.
Oh, because we wanted a company called Old School, because we were founded by four women who were all basically well over our 50s. And so we all consider ourselves very, you know, the old school designers, programmers, etc. However, of course, every permutation we could think of the words old and school were taken up in domain names until we figured out that S-K-U-U-L was not taken. Of course, skewel doesn't work, but if you do umlauts, it's actually pronounced school.
That's awesome. All right.
So it's old school, and hence the wacky pronunciation, mostly because we just didn't want to spend thousands and thousands of dollars we didn't have to buy a domain name.
Way to take your problem-solving skills to text.
Mm-hmm.
Critical thinking. Okay, let's do this. Early life. Rebecca Ann Heineman was born and raised in Whittier, California. When she was young, she could not afford to purchase games for her Atari 2600, so she taught herself...
Sorry, I'm just laughing.
No, it's true.
So she taught herself how to copy cartridges and built herself a sizable pirated video game collection. Eventually, she became discontented with just copying games and reverse-engineered the console's code to understand how the games were made. In 1980, Heinemann and a friend traveled to Los Angeles to compete in a regional branch of a National Space Invaders Championship. Although she did not expect to fall under the top 100 contestants, she won the competition. Later that year, she also won the championship in New York. Heinemann is hence considered to be the first national video game tournament champion.
What?
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true, and it is my biggest claim to fame, despite everything else I've done. The fact that I am the 1980 Atari 2600 Space Invaders National Champion is something that they could never take from me, because they could beat my score, but they can't beat that I was the first.
That's amazing. And okay, we have to do something together. So the video game company that I started is a tournament gaming website for like casual e-games. It's called High Score Wins Money. And basically it's free. People play games. It's run by ads. And then we just use some of the ad money to pay people out winnings. I don't know. We just have to do something with you because...
Break Invaders.
Yes. The whole thing is based on my love of arcades when I was younger. And that's what the site is trying to emulate. And I did create a game for the site called Break Invaders, which is half Breakout and half Space Invaders.
Yeah, I'm the world champion.
Yeah, she is. She's the world champion.
I really am, yeah.
We sent her a t-shirt. She won.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. I'm no spring chicken, so I'll probably be able to place. But win, that's going to be a long shot. But then again, you know, who knows? But I haven't played competitively in decades. But however, though, I still could play. I mean, every now and then I break out the Atari 2600 Space Invaders and play it just for old time's sake.
Well, maybe we can get you to design a mini game for the site. We'll talk about it.
We could do that.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I'm a video game company, so yeah.
Let's figure it out.
Career. After she won the tournament, Heinemann was offered a writing job for a monthly magazine, Electronic Games, and a consultancy job for a book called How to Master Video Games. During this time, she mentioned to one magazine publisher that she had reverse-engineered Atari 2600 code, and the publisher arranged a meeting between Heinemann and the owners of the game publisher, Avalon Hill. As she met with them, she was hired as a programmer instantaneously. Heinemann, age 16 at the time, moved across the U.S. for her new job, canceling her plans to acquire a high school diploma. At Avalon Hill, Heinemann created a manual for the company's programming team, the studio's game engine, and the base code for several software projects, including her own first game, London Blitz, before leaving the company.
Whoa!
Are you serious?
This is nuts!
Well, let's look at it this way. I was born in 1963. 1980. My birthday hadn't come. That makes me 16.
Well, yeah, and these accomplishments for a 16-year-old are outstanding. For a woman programmer at that time, when we know that like the programming world is saturated with guys, is phenomenal. This is crazy. This is great.
Yeah, although I think they're off by 1 year because the Avalon Hill Game Company kind of thing came after the contest, like about 8 or 9 months. So I would probably be 17 at the time, but I wasn't old enough to sign a contract by myself. But well, I lied to everybody telling him I was 18. I was 18 for at least 3 or 4 years.
Still 18, everybody.
Yep.
Heinemann returned to California to work for another developer, Boone Corporation. For Boone, she programmed the games Chuck Norris Super Kicks and Robin Hood, acquiring knowledge of programming for Commodore 64, Apple II, VC20, and IBM PCs, of video game hardware as well as video game design. Boone ceased operations in 1983, so Heinemann got together with Brian Fargo, Jay Patel, and Troy Worrell, and the four founded Interplay Productions, later known as Interplay Entertainment. Heinemann acted as lead programmer for the company, working on Wasteland, The Bard's Tale, Out of This World, and the Mac OS and 3DO ports of Wolfenstein.
Yep.
Why? Out of This World! I'm sure people freak out about that all the time.
Is okay. Wolfenstein like what
notice
it sounds like?
Okay, you notice where I'm pointing at right now on the screen?
Yes.
That picture on the wall. That's one of the paintings in the backgrounds for Out of This World. That's the opening scene.
That's so cool.
Well, Out of This World is one of those games to this day that I still show people and say, look at this game. Like, look, just, it is a timeless piece that works exactly right.
Now, remember, I did the ports. Eric Chahi deserves the credit for actually creating the game. So I just want to put that out there.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm sorry to...
But I did the conversions and optimizations and made it run as fast as it does. But the creative vision for it was Eric Chahi.
Oh, well, great. I mean, just the fact that you worked on that game, which is one that I hold above everything else as far as video games, is still amazing to me.
Yeah, and of course, I could take full credit for being able to get it on the Super Nintendo. That was all me.
Oh, that's everything.
When it was on my Super Nintendo, I mean, obviously games didn't look like that at the time. And so you blew the back of a lot of people's heads off.
Well, it even blows more people's minds when I tell them there's no hardware acceleration chip in that game cartridge. It's just a ROM. There's no Super FX chip. There's nothing in there. There's no hardware assist of any kind. I did that all in software.
Well, I guess it would be more impressive to people who understand the benefits of a hardware acceleration chip.
Yeah, well, for one, it's Star Fox. Star Fox, Doom for the Super Nintendo. They tax the system so much that they actually had to put more stuff in it. The whole bottom line is it costs money to add things to the cartridge. So I was able to get away with doing Out of This World on the absolute cheapest cartridge available.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Which, of course, made it more profitable for Interplay.
They probably loved you.
Oh, God, yeah.
Wiki listeners, you can help support us by listening to this quick message while we continue to fangirl.
Thank you for listening to that message, everybody. Hopefully you checked out of This World during that time, or listened to the message, maybe. I guess that's what they want. That's what they want us to have you do.
That's what we want you to do, for sure. Heinemann went on to design The Bard's Tale 3, Thief of Fate, Dragon Wars, Past Times in Toontown, Borrowed Time, Mind Shadow, and The Tracer Sanction, among others, for Interplay. As the company grew to more than 500 employees, Heinemann, wishing to return to her small team roots, left the company in 1995 and co-founded Logicware, where she acted as chief technology officer and lead programmer. Aside from original games, Heinemann oversaw the company's porting activities, which included Out of This World, Shattered Steel, Jazz Jackrabbit 2, and a canceled macOS port of Half-Life.
Yep. What's interesting was that those games are out of order because, like, when we first formed Interplay, the first games I was designing was Mind Shadow and Tracer Sanction. That was the first ones out the door.
Uh-huh.
Then came Borrowed Time. Then it was Bard's Tale 3. Then it was Task Times in Toontown. In 1999, Heinemann founded Contraband Entertainment, operating as his chief executive officer. The company developed several original games alongside ports to various platforms for other developers. Projects led by Heinemann included Myth 3 The Wolf Age and the Activision Anthology, and macOS ports for Aliens vs. Predator, Baldur's Gate 2, Heroes of Might and Magic 4. During this time, she also provided consultancy work directly for other companies. She acted as Senior Engineer 3 for Electronic Arts, upgraded engine code for Barking Lizards Technologies and Ubisoft, optimized code for Sensory Sweep Studios, acted as a senior software architect for Bloomberg LP and Amazon, provided training on Xbox 360 development for Microsoft's Advanced Technology Group, worked on the kernel code for the PlayStation Portable and PlayStation 4 at Sony. During her tenure at Amazon, Heinemann, in addition to her technological role, was also the transgender chair of the Amazon's LGBTQ group known as Glamazon.
Amazing.
I noticed that you said Microsoft is... You didn't say Microsoft Development Studios. You said Microsoft Advanced Technologies. Is that...
It's called the Advanced Technology Group. What's interesting is I also worked at the Sony Advanced Technology Group. I wasn't worked at Development Studios. I'm trying to make certain to keep this record straight. Development Studios implies I worked like at 343 or Ensemble Studios, where I actually worked on game development. I actually worked at the Advanced Technology Group, and our job was to teach developers how to maximize the use of the Xbox 360 at the time. And also, I was one of the programmers for a project called Trioxide, which is now known as the Xbox 360 emulator in the Xbox One. And the other project I worked on was the firmware for a thing called the Kinect.
Oh, okay. Great. And then tell me about Glamazon.
Glamazon, at the time, Amazon really didn't have any affinity groups for LGBTQ people. And also, Amazon at the time, this is like around 2000, 2010, 2011, somewhere around that time frame. The Amazon insurance for the health insurance for the people who worked there didn't cover any transgender care. And I had several people who came out to me as transgender. See, I came out in 2003, so I was already old news by the time it was 2010. but a lot of employees came to me saying they would very much like to do their transition, but the health insurance doesn't cover the surgeries and the medical care because, you know, you just not like what right-wing pundits want to make you believe that you just say, oh, I want to be transgender. No, no, no. It's a medical process. It takes 2 years to go through. It's a lot. So I brought it up to superiors. I brought it up to HR and they said, well, no one's ever asked for this. So went to the LGBT group. And then I said, look, we got to champion this. And then they said, well, fine, we're going to make you the chair of this. And I had to make a whole business case as to why in the world Amazon should be a tech company that offers transgender care. Now, to put it in perspective, many companies like Apple and Google already were offering it. So they weren't going to be the first. They were more like the last. And that was one of the things I was told at Amazon was like, we're not the leaders for benefits like this. We only do it if everyone else offers it and no one's joining our company because of that. And so I had to make a business case for that. And they eventually did add that to their health insurance. But it was a long, hard road in there. And it's kind of what made me just say, I don't want to do anything more with Amazon if they're like this hard to work with.
Well, I'm glad you did what you did because you probably helped quite a few people.
Yeah.
I've got some kudos from people privately who work in Amazon saying, thank you for your work. And now I can go get my surgery. So there you go. Now, what's funny was like one of the anecdotes I'm going to share here is with Sensory Sweep Studios, Optimizing Code. That was a really fun project because they were working on a game called Alvin and the Chipmunks for the PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. And the game was only running at about 10 frames per second. And that was pathetically bad. And the thing was that the game is one of those rhythm games where the chipmunks play a tune and you just copy the tune while the chipmunks are playing on stage. And it's running only 10 frames per second. And I'm like, how is this even possible? So I got on board, started working with them about this. And then the CEO came to me and said, look, if you could speed this up, you know, just double the frame rate, I'll give you a top tier sushi dinner. And he was like more like out of desperation. And I said, challenge accepted. I locked myself in my area for a week, came back and I said, here's the game running at 42 frames per second. I go, like, what? Here, play it. It's now smooth as glass. Like, and it says, so there's this really nice Michelin restaurant here in Salt Lake City. So like, but the thing was that I didn't know at the time, they had a milestone coming up. And if the milestone, which included 30 frames per second, didn't make it, they wouldn't get paid. And we're talking about a major studio, so we're talking six figures. And the fact that I did this saved their bacon. So, of course, he then took me to the dinner and gave me the dinner. And then everyone was like, yay, we got the game up and running. And then I collect my paycheck and moved on.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Contraband was wound down in 2013, and Heinemann founded a new company, Old School, together with Janelle Jaques. Is that correct?
Jaques.
Janelle
Jaques. The right Jaques. Way, the wrong Jaques. Way, the
Jaques. Janelle Jaques, Maureen Starkey, and Susan Manley. At Old School, Heinemann acts as CEO.
Yep. It was founded by all four, but basically the other three have just moved on for other roles, positions, or retirement. So I'm now the only person who has Old School anymore. But yeah, that's the whole reason why when we first founded was the four of us, three of us, that was Maureen, Susan, and myself, were at a party at RJ Michael's house. Mm-hmm. And we were all just sitting there grousing about how old women are having a hard time getting jobs in the game industry. And that's when we said, well, why don't we just make our own company and hire ourselves? And that's how Old School got created. And of course, Janelle was dragged in because she was my wife. But she, too, has a long game history as well. And she's also an old broad like us.
Awesome. I'm hovering over her name. I can see her and her, I guess, one of her red and black blouses.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away, Rachel.
Personal life. Around 2003, Heinemann was diagnosed with gender dysphoria and began transitioning to live as a woman. She formally changed her given name to Rebecca Ann. Since the transition, Heineman has been living as a lesbian. She has 5 children and is married to Janelle Jaques. Heineman resides in El Cerrito, California, where her company Old School is located.
Okay, first, that's incorrect in the sense that I'm now in Heath, Texas, not El Cerrito, California. So that needs to be changed. But then again, I don't know who's been writing this stuff. So,
there's a lot of editors, but we're actually going to turn the editors on to these episodes. One of the things that we can do is once we release this episode, we can post it in the edit source page of this page to let the editors know it needs to be updated.
Yep. Well, they just need to change El Cerrito, California to Heath, Texas, and that'll be correct. Everything else is fine. I mean, I'm married. I have 5 kids, 2 from Janelle and 3 of my own. And yeah, the thing was, is I always knew I was a woman since birth, but the trouble is due to, or at least the earliest memories I have, I always knew. But the biggest problem was that growing up in the 80s and 90s as a transgender woman, you'd learn really quickly to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Because as you've heard, there are many women in the 90s who came out and things didn't turn out well for them. And I saw what was happening to them. So as a result, I just kept my mouth shut until when I joined Electronic Arts as a senior engineer, as we already discussed earlier. One of the things I looked at, like days after I started working with them, was that they had a employee handbook that says, oh, are you transgender? This is what you got to do. And I'm like, holy hell. they're not going to fire you. It's like, wow. And at that point, I then, got the green light that I'm going to go ahead and do this. And I did this, and I have to give huge kudos to Electronic Arts for their HR group for basically allowing me to transition and not fear of myself losing my career.
And that was around 2003.
2003.
Wow.
And then you paid it forward by doing similar things at Amazon. That's kind of awesome.
Well, nice. It was, when you live in terror for like almost 30 years and then all of a sudden you're on the other side and you realize how nice it is here, then my only regret is I didn't do it earlier. That's it. Otherwise, I've been happy and well adjusted and everything, and no more dysphoria anymore. No more feeling like I'm in the wrong body. I mean, what the right wing people keep saying about gender dysphoria, transgender people is totally wrong. They have no clue what it really is. It's a medical condition. So anyways, I'm digressing. Board service. Heineman has been part of the advisory board for the Video Game History Museum since 2011 and is part of the board of directors of the LGBTQ organization GLAAD.
Oh, my God. You work for GLAAD?
I was a board of director. I was on the board.
So cool.
Yeah. GLAAD Rebecca Heineman. You'll find my thing. In fact, here, let me take a look right now. Let's see here.
GLAAD. I used to be heavily affiliated when I was younger with GSA. So everything we did was related to GLAAD. Mm-hmm.
This is really funny. I think you are a hero to Rachel and I for very different reasons, but basically a hero to both of us.
Yeah, they have me on their website. It's GLAAD/about/board/Rebecca Heineman. And there I am. But I was on the board.
Accolades.
That is amazing.
Accolades. Heineman is recognized as the first national video game tournament champion for winning the 1980 National Space Invaders Championship. Sailor Ronko, a Sailor Moon-based fan fiction comic by Heineman... based on an earlier work written by Duncan Zillman, has won multiple awards. She also tried to qualify for the Fortnite World Cup. In 2017, she became an inductee for the International Video Game Hall of Fame. So it said you also tried to qualify for the Fortnite Cup.
I don't remember that. Oh. So I don't. I'm going to have to look at the sightings here to figure out stuff, but I don't play Fortnite. I mean, I played a little bit individually, but I've never competed. So that one is the only thing on there that I'm going to have to question, because maybe there's another woman with has my name. I mean, Rebecca Heineman, I don't have an exclusive on it. I know at least 3 other Rebecca Heinemans out there. So it's possible they confused her with me. But everything else is there. But I had nothing to do with the Fortnite World Cup.
Well, there you have it, everybody. Rebecca Heineman had nothing to do with the Fortnite World Cup.
But I do have that webcomic. In fact, I just finished the main story arc. It's like 16 chapters, over 550 pages.
Wow.
I cannot wait to read it. I've also made a webcomic myself that I bailed on at one point, but I think I'm going to go back.
Well, I do put in the first chapter, you know, explanations of the characters, but it really helps if you're both a fan of Sailor Moon and Ranma ½, because the comic book is mostly focused on Ranma for Ranma ½, but the Sailor Moon things is just hilarious, because the whole basis of the comic is Ranma's a guy who's got a curse that if he gets touched by water, cold water, he turns into a girl. His mind is the same, so he's still a guy. And of course, the silliness here is that he then gets turned into one of the Sailor Senshi, the Sailor Scouts from Sailor Moon. And he has to keep this a secret from everybody, and hilarity ensues. And it is it's a major slapstick comedy.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it. We are going to wrap up this page. Thank you so much for being our guest. This was really great.
Thank you very much. And please send me a link. And of course, for your readers, if they ever want to follow me, I'm on Twitter for as long as Twitter's still around, Burger Becky. Facebook's Burger Becky, YouTube Burger Becky. Geez, there's a pattern here. then, of course, my webcomic is sailorronko.com, which is Sailor, SailorRanko, all one word.com.
Wonderful. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been the Wikipedia page for Rebecca Heineman.
Thanks for listening to WikiListen. You can find us at wikilisten.com and on all social media and on TikTok at WikiListen, except for Twitter, which is at wiki_listen. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, because it really helps us out. And don't forget to smash that subscribe button with your favorite video game designer.
If there's a particular if there's a particular Wikipedia page you'd like us to read, please let us know. We'll read it.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.